coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in beautiful Mobile, Alabama. We want to thank our listeners on WYEA 106.5 and the Lake 105.1 on Radio Alabama as they always tune in and listen to us each and every Saturday morning here on the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on special assignment again this week. We missed the big guy. Want to wish him the best on his special assignment this morning. Coach Mark Lasseter always joins us here on the Prep Sports Report. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. I hope everybody is well this morning.
No doubt about that, Coach. Dalton Orwig running the boards for our number one force right here on the Prep Sports Report and in on the telephone lines.
Morning, fellas. Hope you guys are doing great. Had a good week.
Absolutely. Hot week. Got kind of warmer toward the middle of it, but it was nice. It still hadn't got to that Alabama midsummer drenching sweat type of hot, but it's getting there. But yeah, beautiful week and a lot of things going on, a lot of things happening, and looks like high school sports is moving on a little bit, and just hope it can continue.
No doubt about that. That's the most important thing, is we're looking at the post-COVID world as far as summer activities are concerned, because June 1 was the magic date for everyone to be able to kind of get back on campus and get along with one another. And on today's show on the Prep Sports Report, we're going to have a few special guests. Riley Leonard, the young man who will be a 2021 senior at Fairhope High School. He has committed to play football for David Cutcliffe and Duke, and we'll talk to him about that decision and his ability to be a multi-sport athlete this morning. We'll talk to him at about 8:30. Also scheduled to join us this morning on the Prep Sports Report is Caleb Ross, the head football coach at Prattville High School, and also George Bates from Center Point in Birmingham, Alabama. He'll talk to us about his Eagles program and everything that he's doing. And in our next segment, Jeff Kelly, the head football coach of Saraland High School, will let us know about how the Spartans are jumping into this summer and how the pandemic affected them during the 2.5 month absence, and what they're doing and how they're looking forward to finishing up this football season. But we knew it was going to come, Coach, eventually here, someone testing positive for COVID-19 in the state of Alabama. From an athletic standpoint, we already have seen it in the NFL, we've seen it in college football, but now we've officially seen it at Albertville High School, as they had three student athletes who did test positive. And I love the transparency. I mean, it's one of those situations to where you do take this virus seriously. You notify the district, the families, and the students, and they had an opportunity to go in to quarantine. Because again, these summer workouts that these student athletes are participating in are not mandatory. So that's the biggest thing. If a parent or a player does not feel comfortable and under the guidelines of social distancing and wearing the mask, they don't have to come to work out. So that's one of the things that I think is a great decision. But anytime, even if you're in small groups of 10, it's just so hard to not have a student athlete to test positive.
It is. It's almost inevitable. You know, you look at this thing and you kind of go, well, we're going to do all we can, and we do. And I know what happens at our school. I know what's happening at other schools. You know, pretty much folks that are truly following the guidelines have a better chance. If you're not, then, you know, there's a chance that somebody's going to get infected, and then that would be, you know, bad for you. But there's also a plan if somebody does get sick, what to do and how to do it and try to get it, you know, stopped as quickly as possible. But if you take this thing seriously, and I do believe that 99.9% of the folks in the state of Alabama concerned with high school athletics is taking it at its word, because, you know, if a child gets sick, one kid gets sick who he's been in contact with, you know, it's all written down on a sheet of paper. It should be, you know, like we have ours out on a spreadsheet, and who's in what group, who they come in contact with every day, and you pretty much know what ones you have to contact and say, you know, we need to, you need to stay at home for a few days or however long it is, 14 days, and till we can make sure we have overcome this.
So that's the way that coaches are handling. Like when you're in a group, you're in that group,
yeah,
for the future, because and that makes total sense, because if you're switching groups of 10 every other day, then you're not doing anything better than if the whole group are working out together.
Well, you can actually switch them by day.
Okay.
You just can't switch them during the day.
Right.
Okay. If I have a group that comes in and I don't take this group from here and they work with so and then we change them over here to this other coach, another group of people, they stay with that group that day, because you check their temperature as they come in every morning. That's the first thing you do. Record it, make sure everybody's got it. And if nobody has a temperature, then you move on. If somebody has a temperature, you send them home. You know, so far, you know, so good at our place, we haven't had anybody that's had a temperature. And but you have to keep that all recorded. And, you know, when you're inside, if you can do drills and what you need to do, you don't actually have to have your mask on just because you're inside. But if you get within 6 feet of one another, you have to pull it up and put it on. So we kind of stress and push them just to keep it up as much as possible. But, you know, when you're running, trying to get in shape or whatever, and you're not with someone, next to someone, not within 6 feet of someone, then it's okay to keep your mask off or down a little bit. But as soon as you get within 6 feet, that mask has got to come up and cover your nose and mouth. And it's, and you know, we're social creatures. You know, humans are social creatures, and especially kids. And most of them hadn't seen each other for a couple of months, you know. And so when they start getting together, in like when we're in the gym doing this or whatever, and they get, you know, we have to continually remind them, hey, pull that mask up, hey, get that mask, you know. But and they do, and they're getting, they're learning how to do it, and it's working pretty good. And I think that's the way it is through most of the state. But if someone gets it, then you got to take your steps right now. It can't be anything worried about, well, we don't, you know, you just do what you got to do and protect your players and your coaches as quickly as possible.
And that's the biggest thing. I mean, you're in a situation to where the CDC guidelines change. They're very fluid. And I'm going to keep saying this, that how everyone handles this from the state superintendent all the way down to the coaches is with a pencil and an eraser, because your guidelines are always changing. It's great to have sanitation stations. It's great to wipe down the equipment. It's great to take temperatures. And the student athlete, it just has to become made aware of exactly, if you're not feeling well, please don't come around your team. I mean, because normally, you know, kids, they just want to get out and play. And normally, you know, am I sick or am I injured? You know, am I hurt or am I injured? That's a situation to where if you have any of the coronavirus symptoms, you know, you've been told to stay away from your teammates. And one of the symptoms of the coronavirus, of course, is the spike in temperature. And that's one of the reasons that you do have the thermometer there to go ahead and take their bodily temperature. But we could probably continue to see other teams involved with it. I mean, just yesterday, I think Clemson had 23 involved in their athletic program, and UCLA has had athletes involved in their program. So no matter how small your groups are, again, kids are not immune to it. And of course, with you can be asymptomatic and have it. That's why it's so important to go ahead and continue to have the small groups and have the facial coverings during this time. But we're less than 2 months away from the start of our high school football season. And coaches are getting a little anxious as far as the preparations for that, because there's a lot that goes into developing and having your players ready, but it's an even playing field across the board with everything that everybody's going through and the preventions of COVID-19. And coming up next here on the Prep Sports Report, we'll talk to head football coach at Saraland High School, Jeff Kelly, and he'll let us know how the Spartans are preparing here during the summer during the COVID conditions.
CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. I'm Corey LeBounty, joined by Mark Lassiter, as always, Dalton Orwig, running the boards here, and Ian taking your phone calls here on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines at 251-343-0106. Always want to thank our listeners out there for tuning in each and every Saturday morning, 52 weeks out of the year, including my best friend Gene Smith, all the way out in Houston, Texas, has us locked and loaded this morning. And again, Carletta joined my mom celebrating her birthday this past Thursday. So again, I want to wish my mom a happy birthday. This past week, she celebrated and we had a wonderful time. Sarah Lynn Andrews, I love you very much. And all the fathers out there, this is Father's Day weekend, and I'm going to continue to say this throughout the show. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. It looks like you're going to have a wonderful weather-wise weekend to go out and enjoy. Unlike the mothers who had to be quarantined during that time, Father's Day, you can kind of make up for it two for one there. And, you know, somebody who I know is a great father is joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines right now. It's the head football coach and athletic director at Saraland High School, Jeff Kelly. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Corey. How are you?
Coach, I'm blessed by the best. Thank you for taking time out of your busy Saturday morning to join us. And we just wanted to touch bases with you to see how things were going in Spartan Nation, to see how you guys are getting back after it here now that the pandemic has allowed us to get back in small social distancing groups. And how are things going down there?
You know, things are going as good as they can be, I think. You know, we're three weeks into training and working, and you know, we're able to get the kids back in their groups and get back to working out and get back active and even get on the field and do a little football stuff. And that's something that I know the coaches have been looking forward to, and I know the players have as well. And it's been just a weird time, you know, for everybody. And these players, when you think about just from a football aspect, you know, of being out of spring training and being out of the weight room for 3 months. And so the last 3 weeks have been sort of just getting them back used to breaking a sweat and training and then, you know, getting on the field and working little balls. So, you know, it's been different. You know, we've been going through and trying to do everything we can do. We've learned a lot of new things, and in terms of, you know, wiping bars down, wiping, you know, the benches down after every kid and taking temperatures. And, you know, one thing we've stressed is day one, and with everybody, and I know everybody's doing it, but, you know, I think especially this summer, it's way more important to keep kids safe, healthy, keep their families safe, healthy. It's way more important to focus on those kind of things and doing it the right way rather than necessarily, you know, getting prepared, you know, like you normally would in a normal summer. And you got to find a way to try to do both. And you know, we're trying to do both of those things the best that we absolutely can.
You know, Coach, it's been the weirdest thing I've ever done, you know, as far as how we've had to start your workouts, how you meet them and get them grouped up, and then you go into work. But, you know, the thing about it is that you do figure out new ways to do things and figure out new ways to teach and coach them and get them going. in the weight room. You know, it makes you work on, makes you really go back and work on some things. I know it's what, that's what it's been for me, is how we do things and how we do things correctly, such as spotting. You know, that's one of the things that's big deal in the weight room, is especially when they're on the on a bench or whatever they're doing, and you're spotting, and you get close to one another. You know, there's a lot of things that have to go into that to make sure that's done correctly.
Well, without a doubt, and really two things. You know, John Herschel, who does our strength conditioning program, you know, he sort of put together a plan, and we're blessed with the space to do it, and that kind of stuff, to really go through a workout without a spot. And so we really have one-man groups, and, you know, it is different. And but, you know, there's some positives, I think, that's come out of this deal that, you know, as a coach, I've kind of been excited about and trying to find the deal with the idea that we've got to sort of get everybody more separated in groups. And one thing that myself and a lot of our older, I say older, our varsity-level coaches, we've gotten a lot more opportunity and chance to be around our younger kids.
Right.
You know, our ninth grade kids, for example, that are having to come in at a totally different time in their special group, we're able to see those kids, interact with them more, and work with them. And, you know, so that's been one of the real positives, is having to split the groups up. We've been able to, you know, and I've been able to be more part of that process, and I've been excited about that.
Coach, how many kids you got out for the season this year, and what are you guys looking like?
You know, we've got about 100, 10 through 12, we've got about 90 kids, and then we've got about 40 freshmen. You know, so we got about 130 kids in the program, and you know, we're excited about the season. You know, we feel like we've got, an outstanding group of leadership-type guys that are returning, that's played a lot of ball for us. You know, feel like we've got a good group of skilled guys. We've got some outstanding quarterbacks that are in there working and training. You know, but it's, you know, with our schedule, you know, we could be a really good team and our record not reflect that. So we've got to continue to work, to train, to be ready week in and week out. So it's definitely going to be a challenge. But I tell you what, I'm as excited or more excited about this football team coming up that I have, you know, anyone that we've had. There's probably a lot of people that know that we've graduated a lot of guys, and you know, we had a very good regular season last year and didn't get it done in the playoffs. But, you know, this team here has got a little something special about them, and you know, I hope we get a chance to show it.
Do you use that loss in any type of way to motivate the players? Because, again, I know going into the spring, you would have taken that opportunity to kind of learn your personnel, to replace Brett Nezat at quarterback and some other key positions. But, you know, what kind of motivation is that for yourself, and what kind of motivation do you use that for your team?
You know, Corey, we talked a lot about that from probably mid-November to about March. You know, and then, you know, then the shutdown happened. And now, you know, when you look back at last year, heck, that seems like it was 10 years ago. You know, so we don't talk about last year. We're excited to be able to go to work each day. Our kids are excited to be back. You know, we're hopeful that, you know, for the next day and the next week and the next opportunity this season. You know, so we're just focusing on next year, you know, focusing on each day to get better and that kind of stuff. And the kids have been through so much, you know, and there's been, you think about the seniors that graduated last year, the kids mm-hmm. that played the spring sports and all the things they missed out on. You know, I think just the fact that we get these kids out and get them back playing high school sports, get them around all these great coaches in the area, I think, heck, that's you know, the most important thing for anything right now. So, you know, we're just focused on it day by day.
That's the way to take it, Coach. You have about a minute and a half left with you. Who do you open up your football season with?
You know, we start off at home against Theodore. And, you know, so we've got a big, you know, Theodore's always been a physical football team. Eric does a great job with those guys. They'll be, you know, as talented as anybody in the southern part of the state, and they'll be well coached. So, you know, it'll be a you know, we hope it'll be an outstanding football game. I know it'll be two really good football teams playing. You know, and then week two, we go up to Hewitt Trussell, you know, up in Birmingham. Max Preff just said they're one of the top teams in the country. And so, and then after that, we go week three to McGill. So we go three, Theodore, Hewitt, McGill, first 3 weeks. And so after week three, we'll have a pretty decent idea where we're staying.
Absolutely love it, Coach, that you don't duck and dodge from anybody. You know that what it takes to make that playoff push down the line and your strength of schedule. 6A Region 1, already to me the toughest region in the state of Alabama through any classification, as evident through a 4 seed making it all the way to the state championship game last year, not off of any fluke, but through being a good football team. So thank you so much, Coach Kelly, for taking time out of your Saturday morning, and we'll definitely stay in touch and look forward to seeing how the Spartans are doing here in the weeks to come.
Hey, y'all have an awesome day, an awesome Father's Day weekend. Super high school sports.
Take care, buddy. Be safe.
Jeff Kelly, head football coach at Saraland. Riley Leonard coming up next here on the Prep Sports Report.
Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha. Corey LeBounty sitting in the captain's chair this morning for Rick Cleveland, who's on special assignment. Mark Lassiter to my left, Dalton Orwig running the boards and ends, taking your phone calls on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines. You can reach us at 251-343-0106. That's 251-343-0106. And have a very special guest that I've been looking forward to talking to here for quite some time here on the Prep Sports Report. He's a dual sport athlete, and a very good dual sport athlete at that, for the Fairhope Pirates. Riley Leonard joining us this morning. Riley, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being on with us. And, you know, Riley, I've been blessed as a basketball official to see you play basketball for the last few years, and, you know, just have seen you with your quiet demeanor get things done, and have always been so respectful. I've never had to threaten to tee you up or put a technical on you, and you've been a calming force for some of your teammates as well. But a couple of weeks ago, you decided to go ahead and make the verbal commitment to Duke University and David Cutcliffe. Tell us what went into that decision-making process.
Yeah, well, first of all, the respect thing on the referees, I ref games in rec league at our local, you know, in our city, and I respect you guys a lot. I know how hard it is, so, you know, nobody knows how hard it is till you actually do it, but, for the Duke thing, you know, there's no school really like Duke. I know that going to Duke, it'll be a 40-year decision. For the rest of my life, I'll kind of be, you know, put in a good position for success, whether it's football or, you know, getting a job. Yeah, and then Coach Cut, you want to be coached by the best, and he definitely is. Great guy, great relationship we had, super religious. And, you know, it felt like home there for sure.
I mean, when you are being recruited in this process, I know it kind of happened in the whirlwind situation. I mean, because, again, I mentioned you being a dual sport athlete, and yeah, because you are a dual sport athlete, the interest level has continued to grow, because I know that you play AAU basketball in the past few summers and have opportunity to travel and be seen as a basketball player. But then all of a sudden now, when you're a 6'4", 6'5" quarterback and you're starting to garner attention from programs such as Nebraska or South Alabama and other Power 5 schools, how did that make you feel, the whirlwind of attention that you received all at once?
Yeah, so at the end of basketball season, I hadn't gotten much from, you know, football, obviously, and I'm stuck. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do, football or basketball. And then, you know, this quarantine thing hit, coaches started to watch film and ended up finding out, you know, who I am, and started recruiting me. So it was, it came out of nowhere, and it happened so quick. And obviously, quarterbacks commit quick, so I had about 3 weeks to make a decision on these schools that I've never been to, and I couldn't really go visit, you know, because of COVID. So yeah, it was definitely a whirlwind, and luckily, you know, I just kept praying on it, and the Lord brought me to the right school, and I'm happy with my decision.
You know what, Riley? It's just I think about you and your situation, and you're being coached right now by one of the best high school coaches in the state of Alabama, in Tim Carter. Just he does the things right, treats the kids right, and coaches them right. And then you got David Cutcliffe, who I kind of think of him as the quarterback whisperer. You know, he's been one of those guys who's put, I know, three or four, maybe five guys in the NFL that are all pro quarterbacks and have just blossomed as quarterbacks, either when he was just a quarterback coach or a head coach, either way. But he's just done his great job, and he believes and has the same type philosophy that Coach Carter does. And I was just wondering if that kind of helped make your decision about going to Duke.
Yeah, absolutely. They resemble each other a lot. You know, when it comes to, you know, the things that they put first in life, religion, family, football. Yeah, football is like third or fourth on the list. He talked more about what he can do for us as human beings than he did football players, and you know, that's really important to me. I think he's a really good guy, and yeah, they both got a lot of energy too when they coach. So there's a lot of resemblance between the two.
Riley, I know you're a guy that puts in a lot of the work, whatever sport it might be that you're playing at the time, but you probably watch a lot of film too. What quarterback do you kind of try to mimic your game after? Who are you watching film of and saying, yeah, I want to be like that?
Yeah, so a guy, you know, I'm not really like too much, but Drew Brees, I love the fact how he plays our offense this year. We got a new offense coordinator. We run a lot of his stuff. So I try to watch him. He's one of those guys that knows where he's going with the ball, and it's so mechanically sound. Gets the ball out quick, and just his leadership as well. You know, pregame, he's the one making the motivational speech. So he's a guy I look up to on the field. So, yeah, he's just super quick with his feet and gets the ball out quick. So him and Brady, they're both kind of similar in that aspect.
One of the things that you've had an opportunity to do as well during this pandemic is probably watch a lot of film, have an opportunity to study the game a lot more than you once were, because again, now you become a three-star prospect at quarterback, and again, one of the best football players in the state of Alabama, and your rankings continue to climb in the 24/7 composite rankings. But when you start talking about being able to work with QB Country and the other local high school quarterbacks that have not only gone through QB Country but are there currently with you working as well, talk to us about that development.
Yeah, no, there's no type of coaching like David Morris coaches us. He's the best. But yeah, it's really cool for us all to come together. Some recruited, some not. You know, we're all brothers out on that. You know, when we're training together, we want the best for each other, and we compete every day we go there. It's cool to, you know, have been going there for a while and seeing us and my friends and I that go there, you know, kind of reach success. You know, get recruited, and the other ones that haven't been getting recruited, we work just as hard, you know, retweet on Twitter everything that they post and everything like that, so they can get exposure as well. So it's a really cool deal.
Now, last year as a junior, I want you to listen to these numbers for those who are not aware of it. As a junior last fall, Riley Leonard completed 102 out of 172 passes for 1,231 yards. He also rushed for 499 yards, 8 touchdowns on 96 carries, and also led the Fairhope Pirates to the first round of the playoffs, where they lost to Central of Phoenix City. Let's go back to your junior season and tell me what you remember the most and what you learned, not only about the quarterback position, what you liked the most about playing the quarterback position.
Yeah, so, you know, I learned a lot playing quarterback. We had a really rough start. We went like 1-3 to start the season. You know, you'll learn a lot. Quarterback, you're the guy that everybody blames, and, you know, you gotta be able to take that blame. We went on a 5 or 6 game win streak after that, and then obviously you're the one that gets praised. So it's up and downs, and obviously a team sport like football, you got to have 10 other guys on offense that, you know, want to work just as hard as you. So, yeah, playing quarterback, it's everything's blamed on you, but at the same time, you get all the glory when it's good. So it's a great position. I love it. Last year, the high for me would probably be, you know, making the playoffs. Fairhope, you know, we're starting to get on the rise and make the playoffs pretty consistently every year. Obviously, not happy with the way it ended. First round playoff losses. You know, I don't know anyone that would want to be in that situation. But yeah, hopefully next year we can go make a run at the state championships, and that's what we're all looking forward to.
We're talking with Riley Leonard, getting ready to be a senior this year for the Fairhope Pirates. He's verbally committed to Duke University. And, Riley, before we go to this commercial break, got about a minute left here before we go to commercial break, and want to hold you over through the commercial break as well on the other side, because I know Coach Lasseter has a couple questions for you on the other side of that commercial break. But I want to talk to you. Are you the holder on the extra points for the team, as most quarterbacks are?
No, that's actually my backup. I'm the punter, though.
Okay, so Riley Leonard is the punter as well as the quarterback. So if you don't get that third and inches, it's up to you now, and teams really have to do their scouting report and make sure that there's going to be no sneak as well.
Yeah, no, we didn't run any sneaks this year. I wish we would have, but yeah, no. If I'm out on the field, I guess we could get some trick plays then.
I love it that you have the athletic ability to also be a punter as well as a quarterback, because again, we're talking about you being a dual sport athlete. And on the other side of this commercial break, I really want to talk to you about being a dual sport athlete, about the basketball aspect of your playing career in high school and how you were able to take the Fairhope Pirates to their first ever Final Four, playing for head coach Solomon Johnson, and just the basketball aspect as to where you were looking at taking your career prior to, again, like you told us a few moments ago, your career blowing up during the pandemic, coaches really knowing that they had a solid product out there. So look forward to talking to you about that, and also recently being named by my main man Ben Thomas as the AL.com Coastal Alabama Athlete of the Year. So look forward to talking to you about that on the other side of the break. And just a great young man, Riley Leonard, we're speaking with here on the Prep Sports Report. Don't go anywhere. You don't want to listen. You don't want to miss the rest of this Riley Leonard interview.
Segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on special assignment this morning. I'm Corey LeBounty, joined by Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig on the boards, and Ian taking your phone calls on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines at 251-343-0106. Special guest this morning, continuing over from our last segment, is the one and only Riley Leonard. He's an upcoming 2021 senior at Fairhope High School. He's a dual sport athlete who is committed to Duke University. But let me tell y'all, folks, not only can he get it done on the football field as well as being a punter, he's a very special basketball player also. And I really love watching him play, as he was able to help his team get to the state semifinals here before they lost to state runner-up Mountain Brook High School. And Riley Leonard, 6'5", averaged 20.9 points per game and 8.5 rebounds last year for Solomon Johnson and the Fairhope Pirates basketball program. Riley, talk to us about your love for basketball and playing for Coach Johnson and taking the Fairhope Pirates to their first ever Final Four last season.
Yeah, obviously I chose football, but I'm actually on the way to a basketball practice right now. I got up at like 4 o'clock. I got basketball practice in Birmingham, but basketball is in high school especially. It's one of my favorite things to do. College coaches actually, when they recruited me, they watched my basketball film first, and that's what made them kind of recruit me harder and actually end up offering in some situations. College coaches love to see, you know, my athleticism, and on the basketball court, you know, that helps kind of expose it. But, basketball in high schools, I encourage everybody to play both sports, and it's a lot of fun.
You know, you're talking about that, and it makes me think I coached a guy named Terrell Owens, or Terrell Owens, I don't know, T.O., when he was in high school, he was a football, basketball, track guy. And his first love was basketball. But he was recruited. The recruiter from UTC came to visit, watched one of our receivers on film, and saw him on the other, found out we had a basketball game that night, and he says, "I'm going to stick around and watch the basketball game." He watched him play, waited around after the game, offered him a scholarship because of his athleticism on the basketball court, because he was able to see him go to work and how he competed. And that's one thing I've noticed about you, Riley. I've seen you play basketball when you've played against Bayside a couple of times, I think, in your career. And, you know, I've noticed that's when I can see you up close and kind of watch you play. And you've gotten a lot bigger since the last time I saw you. But I wanted to kind of go in a different direction about what have you done since COVID hit and we've been kind of locked up and not getting to do a whole lot. What have you been able to do to kind of keep yourself in shape and maybe put on a little bit more weight and be able to throw the ball some?
Yeah, some buddies and I on the football team, actually, my friend's mom had an old office or whatever, so we fixed it up into the gym, and we're going there 6 times a week working out. And then basketball, you know, I got 2 brothers, so at the house, we're always competing, playing basketball. And then we got the football field. I got great receivers who are always willing to go catch for me. And, so I've been able to stay in shape. Been going like 6-7 days a week, doing whatever I can to stay busy.
You've definitely been staying busy. I just want to go through a typical day in the life of Riley Leonard. I mean, is it wake up and you have football practice and then you go to basketball practice and then you lift weights? I mean, what is the typical day? You mentioned you're on your way to Birmingham today to play in a basketball tournament. What's the typical day for you?
Yeah, so weekday, it'd probably be wake up at 6, work out at 7, and then we'd have basketball practice around football practice at 8:15, 8:30, and then we'd have basketball practice at 12. After that, I'd typically go work out again at our little gym, you know, just like a cooler workout with the guys, hang out with them, because the football workout's pretty tough. And then after that, it might be go hang out with some church guys, and we'll go play stickball or whatever, go have some fun out on the local field doing some type of sport. And then go back to sleep and do it all over again.
Absolutely love your work ethic, and that's where you're going to be very successful. Shooting the 3-ball, have you gotten any advice from some guy named Tevin Brown, who was a pretty good shooter and is currently at Murray State?
Yeah, no, we've hooped together a couple of times over this quarantine. He's got one of the prettiest strokes you'll ever see. So whenever we're playing together, I always keep an eye out and get some tips off him. He got a super quick release off the dribble, and that's one of the things I've been working on to, you know.
In your game, I love it that you continue to want to work on your craft in football and basketball. Now, with the basketball aspect and you going to Duke University, I think they play basketball up there pretty good. Some guy named Coach Krzyzewski, you know, he's a pretty good coach. But do you have any interest on possibly trying to make the end of that roster and maybe being a practice player or helping the Duke basketball team get better? Or are you just ready to just show them in the rec when they come into offseason what you're capable of doing?
Yeah, no, thank you for that compliment. By the way, that's a huge compliment to give me. But I don't know yet. Maybe sophomore year I might try walking on, but I'd like to stick to football freshman year, you know, get a feel for the offense and the playbook and everything. Sophomore year, maybe, but if not, yeah, I'll be in the rec as much as I can, waiting for them to pull up.
No doubt about it. I love the competitive attitude that you have and just your overall ability to make people and your teammates better around you, and that's one of the things that I've loved officiating you in Summer League and part of the Port City Stars program, just watching you grow there and just have fun playing the game, watching you on 7-on-7 on the football field on Friday nights, 11-on-11 as well. And you're a great ambassador for the young people in the Fairhope community. And if anybody needs a role model to look up to, you would be that guy. And I guarantee you're going to continue to leave your legacy on Fairhope High School and the community and the kids and the church organizations you're involved in. So just want to wish you the best and congratulate you on winning the AL.com Coastal Athlete of the Year, and just continue to get better and stay safe and stay healthy.
Yes, sir. You too. I really appreciate you having me.
Great job, buddy. Best of luck to you, pal.
Thank you.
Riley Leonard.
Going to be a good one. He's a fun kid to watch.
He's just special. I mean, again, you and I and Coach Cleveland talk about it all the time. Dual sport athletes. If you have the ability, I mean, here it is. He's talking about doing it because it just makes you better. All your different type of muscle memory that you have, it just helps you with footwork, you know, whether it's track and field helping you run routes as a receiver, whether it's lineman, being a big lineman and working on your footwork and posting up and agility drills. Being a dual sport athlete, whether you're at a 1A school or 7A school, continues to help. And he mentioned how it helped him garner attention.
And how to get recruited.
And that's it's all about. That's crazy. What it's all about.
The best thing you can do.
I agree, Coach. Hour number two coming up on the Prep Sports Report. Don't want to miss hour number two right here on FM Talk 106.5.
At Alpha Insurance, our goal is to be your MVP, most valuable protection. That means saving you money on home, car, and life insurance, and providing championship service from our helpful hometown team. Call Alpha and see why we consistently rank among the top insurance companies in the Southeast for customer satisfaction. In Mobile, call Alpha agent Lee Camilleria at 661-3700 or stop by our office at 3938 Government Boulevard, Suite B101 in Mobile.
Searching for the perfect gumbo, the tastiest shrimp, fried to perfection fish? Look no further than Craver's Seafood Restaurant. With two locations in Daphne and Mobile, our family serves the freshest quality seafood at great prices in a casual, fun atmosphere. We love to grill, steam, and blacken too. So don't forget to come to see our famously friendly staff for any occasion. Craver's Seafood Restaurant, a taste from the bayou.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
This is the day.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Prep Sports Report on this beautiful Father's Day weekend. Want to say happy Father's Day to all our fathers out there. And it's a beautiful Saturday morning here in Mobile, Alabama. And joining us now on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines is someone who had their first child and experienced being a father right here for the first time in Mobile, Alabama, as he was the head football coach at McGill Tulane. Caleb Ross, he is now the head football coach at Prattville High School, turning that program back into the giant that they once were in the early 2000s. Coach, good morning and happy Father's Day to you.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Happy Father's Day to y'all. And I had both my kids in Mobile, Alabama.
That's right, he did, didn't he? Hey, and you got to tell you what, you got, Coach, you got a kid, or he's not a kid anymore, he's a young man, but David Stapleton, I think you got hired, y'all hired him this year, and, you know, that boy basically grew up, a lot of his life was in my house with my sons, and he's real special to me, and I'm so glad you got him on your staff.
He's going to be really, really good. He is a really good young coach, and does it the right way, and trains the right way. We're excited about him.
Plenty to be excited about, Coach. Just being able to get back around your team after the sudden closure in late March and early April, as it kind of kept you from having a spring game and going to the Zoom technology of these Zoom meetings. And I know you were able to get done a lot of honeydews on your list, and because football was taken away from coaches and players. But at the same time, I know you learned a lot more from a playbook standpoint. You had an opportunity to probably scout your future opponents. But tell us what you have been doing during that closure in the pandemic period prior to being able to see your kids.
Well, I told somebody the other day, I said, I've got to be human again. You know, I mean, when you're a head coach and you're, you know, those long weeks and things, you're always responsible. I actually got to spend more time with my wife and spend more time with my kids, and got to do a few things I haven't done in a while. I also got to study football, man. When you're a head coach, you feel like you're an administrator and logistics guy all the time. But, man, we actually got to look at clinics and read articles and do some things I ain't got to do. I really enjoyed it, but I think I speak for every coach. Just thankful we get to get back and finally be around the kids. And we all missed them, but then you just don't realize how much you do miss them until you actually get to be around them again. And just feel like a piece of you was missing. So that has been really good to get started back and just be able to see our kids' faces every day.
So, Coach, when the change in CDC guidelines about social distancing, about being in small groups, I know we're less than hopefully 2 months away from our first high school football game. How are you handling it as a staff? I mean, your small groups, of course, when you get back, you want to make sure the kids are understand what the procedures will be as far as lifting weights, small groups, social distancing in that standpoint. But what are the next steps moving forward for the Prattville Lions now that there's been a couple of weeks to become acclimated as you continue to grow in your strength and conditioning program?
Well, like I said, it, you know, early on it took a couple of days, and there were some bumps in the road. Just you got to teach kids how to do this, the new way of life that we're having to live right now. And we've had to break ours up into three different groups. And after a couple of days, though, we actually, man, started doing really good. Staff has done an outstanding job every day of just making sure we're planned out and prepared. Now, after a couple of weeks, kids are starting to get back in shape. You're starting to see signs of where, hey, man, we actually probably could do something. I think I speak for a lot of coaches. We're all kind of waiting to see what the next step is. Are we going to go on this way? Are we going to go backwards? Are we going to move forward? I would hope, and I don't want to answer for every coach, but I don't know how we can stay right where we're at. I will say that, if we're going to actually play the game of football. So there's a lot of questions to be remained as far as what we can do. But we started out just basic lifting and conditioning. And as each day goes on, we've introduced a little more football, just trying to slowly get prepared. And at some point, I know we're going to have to go, you know, put it full speed ahead to get ready to play a game. But I think most people are shooting for after the fourth. So we're going to see as we move forward what the state's going to allow us to do.
Yeah, I think you're right, Caleb. I think as we look past the fourth, about probably the weekend after the fourth, let that whole week go through, and right in that area there, we should kind of have an idea of where we are and where we're headed. That's kind of my thoughts on it. I know you see all these reports now about spikes here and there, and a lot of it has to do with more testing. I saw we tested a whole lot more people in Alabama in the last 2 weeks than we have in the last month. And so I think that that's a lot of it. But all we can do is go forward, like, you know, and like you said, just getting prepared for the fall to get ready to play our football season. But, you know, it is kind of strange. And we, you know, you just, there's that sense of uncertainty. It just kind of sits back there on your shoulder, and you're just not sure what to do about it.
I agree, you know, and that's the thing. It'd be a shame. I hope we can obviously get this in, because I know our kids are excited.
Yes.
And we put a lot of time into this. Our kids want to play. I think everybody agreed that, man, we need structure. Our kids need football. They need activities. You know, but at the same time, man, we all want to. How do we handle this? We all don't want to put anybody in harm's way. You know, we don't want to get anybody sick. And I've only got really about three or four kids right now. They're like, Coach, my mom and dad don't feel good about me being up there. And I say, hey, that's okay. You know, I get 100%. I mean, and I've had one kid got sick. Had nothing to do with coronavirus, but I said, hey, it's probably just smart that you stay away. So we kept him away for a few days, and then when he started feeling better, came back. So, you know, we're all having to do the guidelines, but. We've been putting a lot of time in to get ready. I hope we can move forward with this. Yeah, I read it. You know, we all study the reports and stuff, and there's so many rumors out there right now. But I'm hoping, and that we're shooting for. I know I'm going to give the week of the 4th off to our kids, and I'm hoping when we get back, you know, we're rolling at that point.
No question about that. Now, when you start looking at your schedule earlier, I asked Jeff Kelly about what his football schedule for the 2020 football season would look like, and he's taking on Theodore and Hewitt Trussville and teams like McGill Tulane as well. Talk to us about your Prattville Lions football schedule this season.
Well, I guess the price of starting to win again and build our program back means that nobody wants to play you. So we had to We do play week one. We're playing right now. We're scheduled to play in Crampton Bowl against Wetumpka in the Champions Challenge type deal that the state asked us to be a part of. And then we go Stanhope week two, which are two rival games for us. They're local. Those games we'll always try to play those two teams just for you know, local standpoint. And we jump right in and play Auburn in our region week three. And Auburn's gonna be really good this year. They always are. Coach Weingart does a good job. I think we got Smith and maybe Doton the next 2 weeks. And then we go to Hoover. I went and put Hoover on the schedule. So, you know, I guess, we could, man, it was, everybody's like, Coach, you put Hoover on the schedule. I was like, man, that's the only body that would play us. So we're going to play them week six. Then we go into Enterprise with Phenix City. So, it does not lighten up. We've beefed up the schedule a little bit. But, you know, like I told our kids, if we want to be the best, you got to beat the best. This is what our program should be. This is where Prattville should be. And I tell you this, our kids are excited about it. They look forward to the challenge, man. They're hungry. I'll give them that. They are hungry. And we're, like most coaches, we're excited to see where we're going to be this year.
And that's one of the things that I love about you, Coach Ross. You're not going to duck and dodge any challenges as well. And always great to hear your voice here on the Prep Sports Report, and always love bringing you in, and hopefully look forward to speaking with you right before the football season starts to get that update on where you guys have come from this week when we talked to you in middle of June to where you guys are preparing for that Champions Challenge, Coach.
Hey, guys, it's a pleasure to always talk to y'all. Mobile is special. It always will be special to me and my family. And, man, you know, anytime, Corey, anytime you ask, man, I enjoy being on here.
Buddy, we wish you the best of luck. Sure is good to hear you.
The same here, Coach. I appreciate it. Good to hear y'all, too.
Caleb Ross, the head football coach at Prattville High School, talking about his Lions programs as they're preparing for this upcoming football season. God bless you. Happy Father's Day, and take care, Coach.
Thank you all. Y'all have a good weekend. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Lassiter, I look forward to really seeing, once the football season hopefully happens, like you said, on that schedule, his first 3 weeks, really his first 6 weeks are brutal also. So across the state of Alabama, we see no cupcakes, no time off. That's why these young people are getting after it, conditioning in the weight room, and are really excited about high school football. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lassiter. Ian is now running our boards. We love Ian the intern as he's getting acclimated every Saturday morning and Monday nights as well. Ian, how do you feel the day behind the board? You getting more comfortable as we're going?
Yes, sir, I am. And you know what they say, practice makes perfect. I like perfect practice makes perfect. You build the best mannerisms now. My old mentor, Tony Higginbotham, shout out Tony if he's listening, had a saying, and he goes, a good man establishes good habits, a great man keeps them. And that's always sung true.
That's what you have to ask for here on the Prep Sports Report, and Dalton Orwig is definitely teaching him some great habits. You know, you look at when we talked to Riley Leonard earlier about recruiting, about during this pandemic time, and we've kind of touched on this the last couple of weeks, Riley Leonard is a outstanding basketball player who he didn't know if he was going to get any Power 5 offers, and he had some mid-major offers. Then all of a sudden, as these college coaches start to look at his basketball film, they start to realize the type of dual sport athlete that he can be. And through his work with QB Country as well, they knew that he has the potentials to really be the real deal. So, you know, as looking here locally, we have some great local talent that if you're able to go out and watch high school football this season, I mean, you just look no further than Mobile Christian's Deontay Lawson. And then we start talking about Riley Leonard, and we talk about Trent Battle, who's committed to TCU. I mean, the Power 5 offers, Lee Hunter, who's one of the top defensive linemen in the country from Blount High School. He's a man among boys. I mean, you have to double and triple team him.
He is a monster.
On the regular. And when you start talking about what's in our own backyard in Mobile and Baldwin County, you'll start seeing the type of passion and enthusiasm that people talk about when you go out on a Thursday or Friday night to where these communities absolutely shut everything down. And, you know, it's that old movie Friday Night Lights, to where in small cities like Centralnale or like Jackson, Alabama, or like when you go and you witness what goes on at T.R. Miller and Bruton, everything shuts down and pretty much the stadium is to capacity, to see student athletes like you and I are just talking about.
You know, it's so great to watch these kids in our area as they grow up. We get to see them, you know, when they come in as freshmen, and you already know they're pretty talented. And then to watch them grow and become young men, just like we were talking with Riley earlier about, I remember when he was an eighth grader playing basketball at Fairhope Middle School, and got to see him play a little bit and watched him grow up and saw him play in a football spring. I don't get to see him play football because we're always playing at the same time, but I did see a film of him. I mean, I saw a part of a spring game a couple of years ago when he was playing. And, you know, it's fun to watch him grow up. I remember Deontay Lawson at Mobile Christian. And if y'all have never seen that kid smile, you've missed a treat. He has one of the best smiles I've ever seen. He's got a temperament about him that causes you to want to be around him. You know, I can just see that. And I don't even know the boy. I don't know him hardly at all. But I know that he is growing into one fine, fine young man. And I love to see those kind of things happen. And, you know, so kudos to the folks at Mobile Christian and to his family. And there's other kids that we get to watch and grow up and how they become young men and they go on to represent their families and their schools and their communities at colleges and universities. Some of them play in sports, some of them not. Some kids just go. They don't play any more ball of any type, but they still go in and represent their families in a positive manner. And boy, you just love to see that.
Absolutely. I mean, when you start looking at AL.com's rising seniors for in the state of Alabama, the top 25, and you start talking about the Mobile Baldwin County area, jumping right in on AL.com's list is Micah Gaffney, the defensive back from Spanish Ford. And just want to send a shout out to Ben Blackman and hope he recovers fully from his slight operation that he's going to have. But you look at Micah Gaffney, the defensive back from Spanish Ford, who right now is committed to Virginia. And then you don't have to look much further down that AL.com list to when you talk about Edwin White, the defensive back at UMS Wright, who is committed to Tennessee. And then you start looking at Ivan Schultz, the offensive lineman from St. Paul's, whose dad is Roger Schultz from Alabama Crimson Tide fame. And if I'm not mistaken, he went ahead and committed here recently to Troy University. So that he comes in at number 20 from an offensive line standpoint. And right below him at number 19 from a smaller school is Barry Davenport, the defensive end from Chickasaw. I mean, his offers include Vanderbilt, Kansas, Tulane, Central Michigan, Southern Miss, South Alabama, UAB, Troy, and Coastal Carolina. And he's 6'4". 224. And then you turn right back around and you go right back to Blount High School. Jarius Williams, a strong running back from Blount High School, also committed to Troy. He rushed for over 1,632 yards last season for the Leopards, and he'll definitely be a weapon for Lev Holly and the Toros. Christian Burkhalter, he's a linebacker from Spanish Fort, 6'5". 230. He has offers from Ohio State, Arkansas, Duke, Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Indiana. So that's just the top 15 right here along the Mobile, Baldwin County area. And then I mentioned when you start looking in the top 10 recruiting here locally, Jordan Mosley, the wide receiver from McGill-Tulane. And again, Dalton will be happy to hear this, another young man who's committed to the Tennessee Volunteers. So you look at what's being done at Tennessee and T. Martin and the rest of his assistant coaching staff there, they're getting some great players here locally.
They really are. And T. Martin is a tremendous recruiter, and he does a really good job in this area because of his roots here. And you get then Jeremy Pruitt, he knows this area very well, recruited a lot of kids from this area when he was at Florida State and when he was at Alabama. And, he got Nate Andrews out of Fairhope to come to Florida State and play there at Florida State. So Jeremy is just doing a great job recruiting this area. And there's just a lot of talent, always has been. Go back and look through the years, all the players that have come out of our area, these young men have gone on and played at the next level. Some have made it to the pros, and it's a really football rich area. And I think a lot of people realize that and see that, and they come down and recruit these guys, and they know what they're after, know what they're looking for, and it fits into their program. And so, I'm just tickled to death for these kids getting an opportunity to go play wherever they go play, but to especially get the getting looks at by Ohio State, all the way down here in Mobile, Alabama. You got to catch somebody's eye doing something right somewhere. And so, kudos to those guys and what they're doing. And kudos to those guys recruiting them.
No question.
That's a big deal to really spread out, branch out, be far-sighted, and look down here and find some football players that can help your program.
In the top 10, finishing up AO.com's list, Trent Battle, we mentioned him earlier in the show when we were talking with Riley Leonard. He's the quarterback for Daphne High School. He's committed to TCU. He's a dual-threat athlete. Looking forward to watching him and seeing everything that he's going to be able to do. You mentioned Deontay Lawson, the linebacker from Mobile Christian, committed to Alabama. Him and his smile, he's just a tackling machine. And Lee Hunter, 6'5", 292 defensive tackle from Blount, and he's verbally committed to Auburn, so that'll be interesting to see as well. And those are the ones just in the Mobile, Baldwin County area. And all this recruitment being done during the pandemic time, where there was no spring game, to where you're basically looking at their junior tape or their sophomore, freshman tape and saying, hey, I think this kid can really help my program, because the student athletes have not been able to go on the campus and have face-to-face meetings with these head coaches, have an opportunity for camps and clinics like they're normally able to do. So, like you said, kudos to the coaches for continuing to want and keep their job, but the outreach program that these coaches have during this pandemic time, I tip my cap to them, because it's very hard. And if you are offered, we know there's two signing periods in football now, the early signing period in December and then the late signing period in February. That's why when you're offered, you better go ahead and take it and go ahead and make sure that that's who you want, because it doesn't take long for you to say, well, let me think about it, unless you're that five-star athlete. you don't have that feature. So we'll talk to George Bates, the head football coach at Center Point High School, about how his team is preparing during this pandemic and what he's been doing as well with his team and what he's been telling his team about the movement that's going on across the country. Don't go anywhere.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty. I remember.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LaBounty sitting in for the big guy, Rick Cleveland, who's on special assignment this morning. Want to wish Rick the best. And Mark Lasseter joining me, as always, in running our boards this morning, doing a great job. And joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines is the one and only head football coach of the Center Point Eagles, George Bates. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? How you doing?
Blessed by the best, coach, and just want to jump right in and talk to you about what Center Point's doing since the pandemic restrictions were lifted in regards to having your guidelines to where you can have small groups and have all your players back on campus and see them face-to-face for strength and conditioning purposes.
Man, we jumped, you know, right in, and we waited a week to make sure we had all the precautions and all the protocol in order. And I wanted to do a quick run through with the coaches and also with our, you know, Mr. Phillips, our principal. And so once we got all the guidelines and the procedures we wanted to do, we sent it out to the parents, sent it out to the players, and we started on last Tuesday, man. And I'll be honest with you, it was amazing. You know, the parents and community and the kids did a great job.
And that's what it's all about. I know during this pandemic time, Coach, how did you go about meeting and talking with your players and coaches? I mean, was it all Zoom meeting? Were you able to get in touch with those freshmen, sophomores, and juniors who were interested in being a part of your program?
Yeah, the easy part were the 10 through 12 grades, the kids that had already been in the program. So we had those guys on Zoom. We did a team meeting weekly on care of the ed section, you know, every Tuesday. And we set it at Tuesday at 1 o'clock each week, so the kids knew whatever you had going on, you stopped and made sure you did the Zoom meeting. The freshmen was a little tougher, so we had to call those guys and those parents individually. You know, we called them probably about bi-weekly to keep them updated on everything that was going on within the program. But, you know, between huddle messages with the kids and Zoom meetings, and, of course, the coaches, you know, we talk on the phone and we have our group meet that we chat throughout the day.
And that's one of the things that you have the benefit of, being the athletic director as well as the head football coach at Center Point High School. It's just not football. You got a chance to see all your student athletes that wanted to take place in strength and conditioning programs here during the summertime arrive back on campus. Let us know about the excitement of those other sports and the student athletes to when they were able to get back in their small groups and participate, how happy they were also.
Everybody, you know, was very excited, you know, from the coaches of other sports and the kids of the other sports. You know, everybody was excited because we know the first, you know, two sports that would be football and volleyball. And Coach Williams did a great job. We wanted to match, you know, our protocol to make sure the kids were, you know, easy going from one sport to the next. But like I said, everybody was, it's nothing like face-to-face contact. You know, that's the most amazing thing about the sport, you know, about the game, you know, that we coach, is that face-to-face interaction.
One of the things that I know is hard for you as an athletic director and as a head football coach is the changing or the fluidity of how this pandemic changes the situation, because now you go from groups of 8 to groups of 10 to eventually possibly getting into 11 on 11. And when you're having a situation to where it's changing all the time, it's just like in the flow of a game when you have the football and all of a sudden you turn it over and you have to make sure you have 11 guys on the field ready to play defense after a quick turnover by the offense. I know your coaching skills have helped with this transition and how changing this epidemic is as well.
Yeah, it's trying times, but it's also exciting times. We have a running joke with our staff. You know, Coach Watson always says KC, and KC means keep coaching. So regardless of what, you know, obstacle may be in your way, or, you know, you got to keep coaching. And that's the great thing about it, man. To me, I look at it, I correlate it to basically a football game. You have to make in-game adjustments. And that's basically what you're doing on a daily basis. You know, you're waiting on to see what the High School Athletic Association is going to put out there. And once they put it out there, you got a depth right there. And so that's me, you know, it's kind of exciting, man. It keeps you off balance, you know, to an extent.
One of the things that you've done a great job of is bringing awareness to the culture, to your players. I mean, you had an opportunity to be a guest speaker at Springville High School and teach those other coaches and other players about acceptance and racial inequality that goes on at another school. Talk to us about that experience and what it's meant to you.
It's been amazing. This is our third year doing it. We call it our Save the Service. You know, on the normal times. We would have a predominantly white school come on our campus. We'll compete 7-on-7, 11-on-11. And then once we get done with that, we'll go to community service in Center Point's community and then have food and fellowship after. So with the COVID, you know, it was the COVID edition. We said we're going to take it on the road. And basically, I took two of our senior council. We took two of those guys, and all three of us spoke on it. And it was just great, man. And like we've been trying to do, man, we'll come anywhere, you know, in the state. You know, if you're willing to listen, you know, willing to listen to the things we want to talk about, you know, we're willing to go anywhere in the state of Alabama to continue this deal. Because like I said, it's a cause that I truly believe in, our team believes in, our staff believes in, and it's not going away. You know, like I said, we're going to continue to fight the cause, Blackout for Justice.
And part of that Blackout for Justice, Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee, I saw you give him a shout out to where Tennessee is going to go with the black jerseys this season. And you are a Future One school. Gus Smith and Trent Massey and myself working with Future Ones. You've had an opportunity to wear our apparel, and you're going to have a special game day jersey this season. It's going to be an all black jersey, and you're encouraging other coaches to jump on board and to influence and encourage the movement also.
Yeah, it's something, like I said, I'm very passionate about. You know, our squad is passionate about. And luckily, you know, we're with a great brand. We're Future Ones. You know, we talked and had correspondence about what can we do. And they said, hey, with the black jersey, we're going to give it a half off to where it's not for profit. It's strictly for the cause. And other schools want to understand that it's a peaceful protest. You know, it's a way to stand up, you know, for what's right. And I got a chance to text Coach Pruitt, you know, after his tweet came out. And one thing that was very encouraging that he said, Coach, he said, it's a great idea that you have. He said he really believes other colleges, other universities, other teams are going to follow lead. And I just truly believe, man, every school in the state should be doing it. I believe every university should be doing it. And like I said, it's a peaceful protest, but it's for a great cause, just standing up for what's right.
And again, Coach, you're having an opportunity to lead young men. Prior to coming to Center Point, I had the opportunity to meet you through our Future Ones dealings at Woodlawn. Where were you prior to Woodlawn?
I was at I started my career off as a head coach in 2012 at Parker High School, so 12-13. Then I moved on to minor high school from 14, 15, and 16.
So it's an opportunity to where you're definitely familiar with the Birmingham community. I know you're a graduate of West Alabama, and it's just a place to where you can go ahead and further your education. You don't have to have that Power 5 school offer. You know, you can take a mid-major or a Division 2 or a Division 3 scholarship and make that education work for you. If you're willing to work hard at your craft, I know education is stressed by you as well to your student athletes.
Yeah, we tell guys all the time that first off, you know, don't look at the large school, the Power Five. You know, don't look at that. You got to look at the right fit for you, and what those. And now in these times, you really have to understand and trust that coach. Is that coach really going to stand for you and your values? That's the major thing now. So right now, you have to find the right fit. Of course, you know, it's playing time, and now you have to have that right fit, or if you're going to have that family atmosphere. But we tell them all the time, education. You know, whether it's in high school, whether it's in college, education is what you make of it. And you have to make the best, you know, best opportunity. So it doesn't matter where you're getting taught at. It's just what are you learning from that teacher, from that professor. So we just tell them, man, we push all our kids, you know, to go to further their education, because education to me is the equalizer. You know, you can say black, white, race, it doesn't matter. Education is the equalizer. And without education, you're going to be two or three steps behind anyway. So we push education regardless of whether it's in the University of West Alabama or is it at Iowa, Princeton, it doesn't matter. Education.
I agree with you. And those are great words that are spoken. Coach, if people want to follow Centerpoint on Twitter or follow the program, how can they go ahead? I know it's hashtag wings up for sure because you do a great job of branding your program. But how can people reach out to you at Centerpoint if they want to hear the message that you would like to share?
We have a Twitter page, you know, but we had a different coach running. He's not with our staff right now. So it's up and going, but the first thing you can do is follow at CoachBates7 on Twitter, and you'll get all things Centerpoint football, man. It's just and what's going on in athletics as a whole. And so just follow our coaches, man. Like, so we're excited. We, you know, got a new offensive coordinator in, Brandon Wilcox, who's going to do an amazing job for us. So, but you can follow me at CoachBates7 and follow all the coaches, and you'll see everything that, you know, that we have going on in our community.
Coach, I appreciate your time this Saturday morning. I appreciate you being a great role model for the kids that you're being a part of. I know many of them look to you as a father, so I will say happy Father's Day to you as well, and continue to do what you do and continue to bring light to the struggle, Coach.
Man, I think thank you guys for having us on, man. And like you said, I'm not a father yet, but I got 56 sons, and I look out there every single day. So, man, I'm blessed to do what I do. I feel like I'm walking in my purpose, and happy Father's Day to you guys, man. Stay safe and God bless.
Same to you, Coach. That's George Bates, the head football coach at Centerpoint High School in Birmingham, Alabama, talking to us from an athletic director standpoint as well as a head football coach standpoint, as his Centerpoint Eagles are continuing to get back on campus, continuing to work out and get their strength and conditioning program in. And all these coaches that are getting back on campus having an opportunity now for the last couple of weeks to be around their players officially since June 1. Some of the coaches waited till June 8th to be around their players. You know, you just are happy to see them, and it's not mandatory. You can't make it mandatory, but those who are showing up are doing so and are doing a great job adhering to the guidelines as well.
You're absolutely right, and it is exciting for coaches to get back with their kids, and the kids are really excited to get out and get started, and at least their life is getting back to a little bit of normalcy. You know, it's a little bit different in workouts and things that you do together. It's still very, very good for them to be able to get back with their coaches and get back with their teammates and kind of get going and getting started for the upcoming year. It's going to be very interesting the next few weeks, watching everything play out and see how it goes, and all of us keeping our fingers crossed that this thing just rolls on and we're able to start school and get back into the life we know.
Don't miss this Camp Grace segment coming up next here on the Prep Sports Report, always our favorite segment of the show.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile, is the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
Wow, what a show we've had so far today. Had some guys on here talking about so many things that are so important to our world today, to our country, our state, here in Mobile, Alabama, and Baldwin County, and talking about kids and where they're going and how they're getting there. And there seems to be one theme that keeps ringing true. I don't know if I heard coaches talking about it. I heard Riley talking about it, talking about how it's important for himself, talking about for his coaches, and coaches talking about their players. The underlying current is that we as people need to love one another. That's what God said. He said, love one another. Man, this world we live in is a complicated mess, to be honest with you. It's hard to figure out all the sides of which side people are coming from. And I'll say this about you know, how we look at things that go on in our world is that, you know, there's always a way for a place for growth. There's a place to learn. There's a place to make things better in our lives, in our world, in our community, in our school, on our team. There's always a way to make things better. Always. And you do that, like Coach said, through education, knowing what you're talking about, knowing what that is. But there's also a place in there, you know, Corey, it's about compassion. It's about love one another. Treat people the right way. And it's like I said, this world we live in is complicated, and it's not easy. But at the focal point of it, if we don't keep God first in it, things are going to fall apart. And for me personally, my old self, I've looked back through the years. When we moved God out of our schools and God out of a lot of our things that we do, our society kind of began to fall apart in ways, you know. There wasn't that love anymore. That's kind of what I see. And I'm, you know, Lord of mercy, I have no right answers to anything. I have none. But I do know that there is a way for us to move on. If you watch football teams and basketball teams and baseball teams in our state and our country, you'll see folks who get together and play the game the way it ought to be played, and they love one another. I'm just telling you, they do, and they make it right. If we would model our country after some of the way our teams handle one another, you know, the kids are the ones I like to watch in the locker room, how they meet one another and talk to and share with one another. Could it be better? Heck yeah. Can coaches do better? Heck yes. We all can. But at the bottom line, there comes a place in there where we just got to realize the key God said to us years ago was to love one another, to treat people right. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care. None of that makes any difference. Love one another. It's that simple. It doesn't get any, it doesn't make, it's not, that's not complicated. To me, it's not. But our world's kind of crazy. Everybody's got to make up their own things. You know, I think social media hurts a lot of things, that we come out and we just, if somebody says something and it doesn't sound quite right, you ridicule them. You bash them. Man, you know, a lot of things that are written, when you write it, it looks different than when you say it. Like, I remember I talked to my wife, and I'll give her a text message. Had I said, and, you know, she heard me talking to her, she would have known what I was talking about. But the way it came across in writing, it sounded like I was being a jerk, and she didn't like it very much, you know. So I see that as a way, you know, sometimes I just think we just go too far. And I think excess of anything is too much, you know. If, you know, a beer in and of itself, you know, depending on how you view it, it matters, is a good or a bad thing. Just the beer in and of itself, it doesn't hurt anybody. But if you drink too much of it, and you drink it in excess, it can become a problem. If we do things in excess, too much, that can become a problem. So I think there's a place in there that we all got to find, that common place where we can learn from one another and be together. Watch athletic teams, how they blend, how they get together. Some of them do it great. Now, some of them don't do it very good. You know, there are teams out there that are very poor about how those players, and maybe that's the leadership not doing a good job. Regardless of the fact, there's that middle ground we got to find, folks. I've told this on this here before. When my boys used to get in a fight with one another, I'd listen to one side, listen to the other side, and I know in the middle somewhere is the truth. You know, somewhere in the middle, that's where the right answer is. And that's the way I believe about this thing that we're going through. And I'm, you know, like I said, I don't have all the answers. I don't even pretend to. And I'm not trying to make anybody believe the way I believe. I'm just telling you that there's a way to treat people. And you got to find that. And it's love one another. It says God is our refuge and our strength, a present help in the time of trouble. I got to remember that during my life is precious. And our commitment, my commitment to Christ, is through the loving God and our neighbor as we love ourselves. I got to love my neighbor as I love myself. I got to. That's my job. That's what I've been called to do. This journey we're on right now is unlike any other. and I pray that in our time of solitude, we'll be able to connect more deeply with faithful ways in God, which God remains steadfast with us. We need God's help. We need His guidance. We need one another. We need the Spirit's care.
Great words right there, Coach, without question. And to kind of piggyback off that, this being Father's Day weekend, you know, a dad, it's a son's first hero and a daughter's first love. And again, Psalm 103:13, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And Coach, you know, I know how much your dad means to you. You know, Dalton's been a father here the last couple of years and have had opportunity to experience a couple of Father's Day. I'm a father myself. You know, the love of a father and the love of our ultimate father. You know, that's why, you know, when we say, you know, our Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father in heaven, we ask for his grace and mercy on a daily basis, and we're able to get that on a daily basis. And Coach, again, I want to thank you for being a part of this show each and every Saturday morning, for being a great father, for loving your father the way you do. And I know how much he means to you, Dalton. I know how much your baby girl means to you this Father's Day, being tomorrow. And, you know, I love my son Cameron as well, and love my daughters, and just have had an opportunity to know what it feels to be a dad and to be loved. So to all the fathers out there, want to wish you a very happy Father's Day weekend. I want to thank our guests this morning on the Prep Sports Report: Jeff Kelly from Sarah Land High School, Riley Leonard from Fairhope High School, Caleb Ross, the head football coach at Prattville, and George Bates, the head football coach at Center Point. Thank them all for being a guest on the Prep Sports Report. Looking forward to talking to you again next week right here on FM Talk 106.5 and the Prep Sports Report.